Now, it is not an offence to sell sex. It is an offence to purchase sex. People, many people have been reacting to the interview I did this morning with the Justice Minister. This is going to be very difficult to police, and the chances are it's going to drive the selling and purchasing of sex underground. So it would be easy to argue that the rights of women who want to sell, and indeed the rights of men too, who want to sell sex, who want to be sex workers, have been diminished with this act.
Well, that I'd like to commend the Justice Minister for his work on the rest of the Human Trafficking Bill. We disagreed strongly on the issue of criminalisation of the purchase of sexual services, but I found him to be a thoroughly decent man who cared thoroughly for trafficked individuals in this society and who treated us with decency and respect. So I want to be clear that I don't demonise those who have concerns about the criminalisation model. You mentioned driving it underground. The evidence from Sweden, Norway and Iceland would be that simply isn't the case. And I'll tell you why. If you're going to sell sex in Northern Ireland, you have to be able to find buyers. And if buyers are able to find sellers, so can the police. And the evidence is from those jurisdictions that prostitution does not go underground. And that thesis has been consistently debunked. We heard that argument consistently in the Northern Ireland Assembly during the course of the passage of the Human Trafficking and Exploitation Bill, and it was rejected because members could see the prostitution cannot disappear. So I hope that answers your question, Frank.
Well, the Justice Minister did say to us this morning that in the Swedish situation, it's much easier to tap someone's phone and therefore get an understanding of what deal they're setting up with a prostitute or with a sex worker. Mm-hmm. Here in Northern Ireland, it's highly, highly unlikely that there's ever going to be signed off by the authorities to tap a phone of someone who wants to buy sex. So it's unlikely that the police are going to be delivering very many people to the courts in the near future for the purchasing of sex.
Two responses to that, Frank. Firstly, in Sweden, that the wiretap is not the only method the police use, and that's been put around by some opponents of this move. They use other methods, and it's not the only way they do it. And in actual fact, they have said to us that they could, and they have arrested a number of individuals without wiretaps. Secondly, I would point to the PSNI. They have said that this piece of legislation will be, quote, a valuable tool in the toolbox. They have said to us we can enforce it. Yes, there are certain issues around enforcement, and the PSNI. Yeah,
but they've said all that under duress. The police would have preferred at the beginning of this legislation didn't come into play.
I'm afraid, Frank, I'm going to have to disagree again. You can have a look at the evidence given to the Justice Committee by Drew Harris, who was, I think, ACC Drew Harris at the time, and he indicated at that point that the police were broadly supportive of it. There was a time where they were sceptical. I'm not denying that, but again, the police also respect the fact that it is for our lawmakers to make decisions about policy and for the police to implement them. And the other point is what I would say about policing. In Sweden, when they first introduced the law, the police were vociferously opposed to the approach that was adopted. They said it wasn't going to work, it couldn't work. But within 5 to 10 years, they were the biggest advocates of the legislation, said it had worked very well. And we're hopeful that the PSNI will have a similar change of heart over time.
There is no doubt trafficking is linked to the sex industry, and people who are trafficked are working in the sex industry. But there are also, and I've had them on this programme, there are sex workers who have not been trafficked, and they are seriously disadvantaged today. And they may be looking at CARE, your organisation, as an evangelical group that's trying to clean up society, in inverted commas, whereas they want to provide what is the oldest profession in the world.
Well, I think firstly, it was pointed out on Twitter by one of our MLAs that prostitution is not the oldest profession in history. Farming, actually, but that aside, I think, yes, I can understand the concern that some of these individuals have. The point that I would make is to say that it's about, you know, doing what is right for the majority. And in our view, and in the view of the Northern Ireland Assembly, the vast majority of those who are in prostitution do not desire to be there. They are often coerced, that they're there because of a lack of choice rather than by positive choice. And we feel that reducing demand will help individuals to choose other options and to find other alternative paths. And the other point to make is that Northern Ireland's bill, or the Act now, is unique in the sense that it has within it a strategy for exit and support for exit for individuals who are in prostitution if that's what they want to do. No one will be coerced into leaving the sex industry. It's a completely voluntary scheme that's being run by a number of the departments here and should be up and running by early next year. So yes, I mean, I can understand where they're coming from, but we had this debate on the floor. These arguments were all heard, and the Assembly made up its mind in favour of criminalisation on hearing the evidence.
And surely if we were giving the women and the men who want to be sex workers equality, we would have two or three streets in some part of Belfast that would be red light lit. They would be cordoned off, maybe like you have in places like Hamburg in Germany, and the only customers would be allowed to go into them, and the professional care and the medical assistance given to all the people who are involved in working those streets would be of the highest quality, and it could be a legal undertaking that would be of the modern age, very similar, say, to what you see in Amsterdam.
Well, what I can say again to that is that those models were considered by the Assembly and rejected due to the negative consequences that they have. What I would point out is that there is no human right to pay for sexual services. And if you believe, as many in our society do, that prostitution is inherently exploitative, then surely it can't be right to legalise this industry and to suggest that you have sort of safe zones and tolerance zones, as you're referring to them. That option was considered and rejected.
Mark, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you very much, Frank. Okay, thank you.